unconditionally. You truly are a good, good Father. So we sing the song tonight. It's not just words, it's absolute truth. We couldn't ask for a better Father.
Yeah.
guide Mark tonight. We would not be hearing Mark's word. We would be hearing from you, from your Holy Spirit, pouring straight through him to our hearts, to our ears. That we would free ourselves of distractions, as the enemy wants to work even here. I pray against that in Jesus' name.
Can you turn it off?
No, no. Put on the button, the white, the top one. Yep.
I got you now.
Are we on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. And tonight, Lord, we invite you, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God to be with us. Teach us what you let us know. Show us what you would have us see. Tell us what you would have us hear, so that we may be better, more willing, and obedient children of God. Our theme for the last 2 weeks, and again tonight and next week too, is the Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 10. And it says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." I'd like to start off tonight with a question. And this is not rhetorical. I would like some answers. What is a testimony that we would be willing to give about Jesus Christ in our lives?
A specific testimony?
Something that happened in the last week. Chris.
So sometimes when I go to tough calls, I always pray before, like, I get out of the vehicle. And we had one the other day where a man took his own life. And I don't say that to shock people, but going into that, there's a job that I have to do. And with understanding and respect for the family and for the person on himself, even though these things happen. So I always ask for strength, and he finds a way to fill my heart and my mind and my body with that strength so that I can do what I need to do. And it's not always easy, but that's what I ask for.
Right. Besides me, was there anybody else that was encouraged by that? Okay, so we overcame because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I had an encouraging thing happen this week, very encouraging to me, because I prayed for both my son and his family, my daughter and her family. I hadn't heard from my son in what, honey, about a month? Yeah, it had been a month, and every text that I got back was yes, no, okay, everything's fine. And that usually is an indication that it's not fine. Okay? So anyway, I called him this last week, or actually it was this week, a couple days ago, and I said, some week we, you know, we're supposed to hear from you. You said you were going to call. That didn't happen, and I was hoping you would call us last week. That didn't happen either. You know, how is everything? Is everything okay? He goes, Dad, I'm just really tired. You know, I'm working till 10 o'clock at night and, you know, doing some things around the house and all this, but we'll call you tonight. And I said, great. So he called, and he was very upbeat. Our granddaughter was very upbeat. His wife was very upbeat. Everything was good. And the thing that encouraged me most was when Debbie asked Tracy, said, have you gotten that new job yet? And she goes, no. But she says, I keep remembering what Mark said when you were here, and that is that God has a plan for my life, and we're standing on that. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And I told my son, I said, you know, when things get really rough and when it gets tiring, you know, go out on your porch. Look up at that beautiful sky and over that beautiful lake that the Lord has provided for you, and talk with the creator of the universe about what's going on with you. And all that stuff will pale in comparison when you look at the majesty of his creation. He goes, Dad, that's what I do. He said, that really encourages me. And I'm like, yes! So I guess what I would say to any parent that is concerned about their kids that haven't called them for a while, that it's probably okay, but you do need to keep asking and following up and making sure, because you just got to know. And the Lord wants you to know. Okay? He doesn't want it to be a secret. He doesn't want you to be troubled or concerned. That is not what He wants for us. The Lord says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, today Rebecca called and she said, you know, these are the songs that I'm thinking about for tonight. Which one of the two? Because last week we did one. And she gave me the two songs, and I said, I like them both, so let's do both. We'll do one in the beginning, and we'll do one at the end. Because they match perfectly with what we're talking about. Tonight we're talking about who Christ is in us. Last week we talked about who we are in Christ. This week we're talking the other half of the coin. It's like a regular coin. You flip it, it's got heads, it's got tails. Well, our relationship with Jesus Christ is the same thing. We have who we are in Him and who He is in us. And most times, this is the only church I've ever been to that has taught the other half of the coin. Okay? And we're going to hammer on this tonight. Okay? Now you guys, I think both of you have probably heard most of what I'm going to talk about. But if you have, pay attention anyway, because statistics show that for someone to really get a message, it takes between 5 and 8 times for them to hear it. So if you guys hear it twice, you only got 3 more to go. Okay. So, does anybody, based on what we just talked about here, based on your testimony, it's who's got something that God did, answered a prayer, said something to them, a word of encouragement, even a small, quiet voice that gave you some assurance or something like that? That's the Holy Spirit on the inside. He's not going to get onto a big billboard out here and, you know, hey, this is God. It's going to be okay. No, it's not going to happen. He will speak to you in different ways. Okay? And we're going to talk about that next week in how to walk the walk. Okay? But just think about it. And if in the middle of tonight's teaching, if something comes to mind, stand up and say, hey, I got a testimony. Okay? I'm good with that. And so is the Lord. Okay? He really is. He wants you to tell others what He has done because it encourages us. That's what it says in here. We overcame because of the blood of the Lamb. And because of the word. Come on.
Tuesday morning, I got a phone call and I had to take care of something. I was scared out of my mind. I had to deal with it. I made a phone call to my fiance, Stanley. Through him, I got through the day.
Awesome.
He pulled his truck over on the side of the highway and we prayed together. We were able to put a future in our family.
Sweet.
That I couldn't ask the Lord anything different. And I'm just praying and hoping that it's going to continue that way. And our family has been very blessed. And I can tell you right now, through prayer, it may not happen one day, but it'll happen. God will answer all of your prayers in one way or the other.
And you know, that's an important point. I know we don't want to hear this, but no is a legitimate answer. And we think, I know what's best for me. This is what I want, Lord. Give it to me, please. No. We don't know everything. He does. He knows what's best for us. And He knows how to take care of us. And He knows, guess what else? What's not good for us. And what we could be asking for is something that we think is really good, and it's not. He knows that. Okay, He is omnipotent. He knows everything about everything and about everyone, past, present, and future. Did you?
I just have one. You know, you were asking for testimony.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one thing that you just set up here and is that, I don't know if you're making it, right? All right, so, you know, you said that they overcame with a testimony and that other people are encouraged, you know, when they hear a testimony. So anyway, I just want to share just a cool testimony. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Nick, he just got baptized. Okay, it's very cool. Isabella just got baptized. Okay, very cool. And so we shared testimonies about this, right, last Sunday, okay? And one of the testimonies, poor Isabella keeps getting embarrassed by this, but, you know, the testimony was, you know, when she first started coming.
That's you're going to talk about yourself.
Just wait. So anyway, when she first started coming, it was complete indifference. Now, she's here. She's like the first year. She's here, you know, so excited. And so we shared that on Sunday, and now she's so excited about the Lord. And you should, for those of you guys who were there at the baptism, she's beaming. It was such an amazing time. You know, it was just beautiful. But it was beautiful here on Sunday. And the cool thing was, you know, as we were sharing this testimony, now look at her, you know, and she's such an encouragement to the other kids. There was a girl here on youth group night, okay? She's been coming here for a long time. And another young kid, okay, they've never been to youth group. They've been coming to church. And honestly, no kidding, for about, I nailed them on it on Thursday. And they've been the same way. You know, like, you know, just don't want them. And I said, what? And so last Sunday after the service, this other young girl said, you know what, I want a Bible. I said, are you sure? I said, if I'm going to give you a Bible, you got to read this Bible. I want the Bible. Okay, all right, so So Thursday, she showed up to youth group. Okay? And so this girl has never said boo. Okay? And so I pull up now. I said, okay, we're going to get you a Bible, and you can start reading the Word of God for yourself. We're going to help you with that. And I come in. She's like, Pastor! She runs. I said, just going to ask you, you know, what is making the difference? She's younger. You know, so she's like, what is making the difference? And, you know, she's like, I don't really know. I just know I want the Bible, and I want to read God's Word. And I wanted to come here. And I also, I heard, you know, is Isabella's testimony. And you know, she's cool. So, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm cool. I didn't say that. I had that thing. Just old and cool. Okay.
You're not old.
Okay, right. Preach it, brother. But the bottom line is, you know, here we have another. Now she's gonna go through the Gospel of John. She's gonna start reading it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. She wants to meet you, and she's encouraged in the Lord. She came to youth group. She can't wait to come back to church. The kids are smiling, having fun. It's like different kids, but all because of the testimony of what God has done in your life in the past 6-8 months. I don't know, year, whatever. I don't, my conception time is terrible. But whatever in this time period, whatever he's done in you, that shines. Now, you didn't know that until I told you. But nevertheless, that's the truth. And you may not always see what other people are noticing in you. But believe me, they notice, and that has an effect. Your testimony, your joy for the Lord, your hunger for him, your willing to surrender, whatever, has an effect on other people. And I'm sorry, Mark, I'm talking too much. That's fine.
Can I piggyback on that? Yesterday, I observed a woman from this church talking to another woman, and that woman was sharing her burdens, and the woman from our church was just in the middle of this woman's story, didn't even let her finish. She said, we're going to pray about this, and just, you know, stopped and prayed right there. And for me, that was a reminder, like, in the middle of everything, you know, just stop and pray. And when somebody's sharing something like that, stop and pray. So that happened yesterday. So today I had an opportunity, when somebody's sharing stuff with me, to stop and pray. And, you know, observing that yesterday reminded me, you know, to do that, you know, today. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, that what you said reminded me of something that happened way back when Debbie and I lived in Columbus, Ohio. And I had an opportunity to stand before another congregation and start to give a shorter testimony than I've given tonight or last week. And at the end of that, after I read a scripture and gave the testimony, this one woman came up to me and she said, your life and your wife's life is such an encouragement to me, and I really appreciate it. And I looked at her and I thought, I don't know who you are. I didn't have a clue. Okay? But here's the important thing. Now listen, open both your ears. You don't know who's watching. They hear what you say, but they watch what you do. Okay? They hear what you say, but they watch what you do. What was it? Think about your children or your brothers and sisters or whatever when you hear this. Your actions speak so loud that I cannot hear a word you are saying. You know, the people say, you know, don't do what I do, do what I say. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Okay? It doesn't work. So, about 4 years ago,
you didn't want that anymore.
Yeah, we'll need that later. When Debbie and I were living in Lexington, Kentucky, I was at church one Sunday, and I know that's unusual. And they were introducing a new series by the pastors. It's called One and Done. And the theme was that as a pastor, if they only have one message to give, and they were finished and they were leaving the ministry and they wanted to leave the congregation with this one thought, that was their message. Well, that fascinated me. It really did. So I immediately began to pray for the pastors about their messages. Well, one of them, I told Darren about this, and I look forward to the day that the Lord moves on Darren's heart to give this same message. The one that, there was two of them that really stuck. One was the youth pastor, and his was on Noah. And the other one was when Craig walked up, and he walked up on the stage and he had these chains. He had these massive chains that were wrapped around his shoulders. And they were heavy. You could see they were heavy. And his message was that we've been set free from our sin and the chains of sin by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he took those chains and pulled them off his shoulders and let them hit the ground, there was such a thud that you just, it was like, whoa! He said, that's the weight of sin in your life. That was one I remembered. That week, as I was praying, I was also a leader of a men's group. And it was called Iron Man 2. Iron Man was a group that met at 8 o'clock on Saturdays, and we had breakfast, and then there was a teaching out of a book, and, you know, there was about 80 guys there. But there was a group of guys, it was about anywhere from 12 to 20 of us, that really wanted to dig into the Word further. So I asked Doug, who was one of the pastors, I said, you know, we got a group of guys that really want to get into the Word. Is it okay if we hang around after Iron Man and dig into the Word of God? And he said, absolutely. And Iron Man ran from spring through the fall and did not run in the summer. But Iron Man 2 always ran in the summer too. Okay, so that's who this group of guys was. Serious about the Word of God. So as I was praying for the pastors about One and Done, the Lord asked me a question. He said, Mark, what's your one and done for the guys in Iron Man? And I went, I don't know. This is what I'm thinking. And I've been walking with the Lord long enough to realize when he asks me a question like that, my best response is a question. Well, Lord, what would you have it be? What would you have my message be? And he said, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the Word of God, the ministry which has been hidden from the ages past and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I said, wow. Wow. Christ in you, in me, the hope of glory. And I followed that up with another question because I really wanted clarification. I said, Lord, why is this important to you? That this should be the message. My one and done. If I meet somebody and I give them this message, why is this important to you? He said, Mark, and we do have this internal dialogue together. This is, I'm not making this up. I hear him in my own voice speak to me about questions that I ask. Okay? And I see a brother here shaking his head. He said, yeah, that happens. That's what happens with me too. Okay? He said, ever since you were a boy sitting on the banks of the Olentangy River, when you gave your life to me, you have asked a simple question. What can I do to show you that I love you more? What can I do to show you that I love you? Well, there's really nothing. Because it's not about performance. It's not about anything I do. It's, do I love him with all my heart? And he said, and the answer to your question is in John 15, when Jesus said, greater love has no man, or has no man than he lay down his life for his friend. So, that's what Christ in you, the hope of glory, means. Okay? Because when I was about 10 years old, my dad, when he would pray, I knew he was connected. You could just tell. He knew the Lord on an intimate basis. And I thought, man, that's, I don't know who this God is that he's praying to, but he really is connected. And one night I saw him before he went to bed, praying on his knees at the side of the bed, fervently. You could just see the intensity. And I said, Lord, I don't know who you are, but I've got to find out. If my dad believes in you that much, I've got to find out. So one day, I was down at the Olentangy River, which is one of my favorite places on earth. It's in Columbus, Ohio. And there's a bend in the road, or a bend in the river. And there's little rapids, and the water runs over them, and it's a beautiful place. And I just got real honest with God. I said, you know what? I don't know who you are. But I know this. That if my dad believes in you that much, I want to be on your team. Bam! Instantaneous change. I don't know what happened, but I know something real happened. And that's what it means when he says you become a new creature. I didn't know anything about the Bible or anything else. But almost immediately, I started hearing this voice on the inside of me that said, Mark, there's more. And I said, oh, great, man. What's the more? So as I went through life, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to church and I'm enjoying that. You know, maybe marriage. Maybe having God show me the right woman and we become one flesh. Maybe that's the more. So he introduced me to my beautiful wife when we were both going to Franklin University. And I was walking out of the class one day, and my brother always drove his car, and we both went to work after that. And I told my brother, I said, you know, I just saw the mother of my children. I saw her, and I knew in my heart of hearts that she was going to be the mother of my children. He said, what's her name? I said, I don't know yet. I don't have a clue. And she's shaking her head. It's absolute truth. Okay? And I, out of desperation, on the last day of finals, I knew that I had to ask her for a date, or all was going to be lost. So, in my suave and debonair way, whatever, debonair, I went up to her in the lunchroom, and I said, Debbie, I said, you know, I've listened to you, and you're having some bad weekends. I'm having some bad weekends. So how about if we have like a bad weekend night together? You know, like, man, that was lame. That was totally lame. And she said, sure. So it had to be a God thing because it sure wasn't me. Okay, and the rest of the...
Oh. One of the stripes in your shirt matched the plaid in your pants.
Yep. And it matched the light blue in my socks.
Oh,
and
my
and I had on a paisley tie. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I thought I was looking good. I didn't realize that I was looking like a Barnum and Bailey clown. But you know, as she's describing the outfit I had on, I was thinking of a time I went to the circus and there was a clown dressed up. Okay? But anyway. I digress. So anyway, he said there's more. So I said, okay, what's now I'm married. We both wanted to have kids, and I thought, hey, and the Lord keeps telling me, Mark, there's more. What's the more? And so we had a couple of beautiful children. And we still have a very good relationship with them and their spouses and our grandchildren to this day. And I thought that was the more. But it wasn't. You know, I was baptized as a child. And I had a pastor that was trying to talk to me and get baptized. And I never really felt the call to have that happen. But then the pastor explained it to me, and I said, you know what, that's a good idea. I do want to make an outward profession of something that's already happened in my heart. I want people to know by what I'm going to do that his life is my life. My life is his life. So I got baptized. Almost immediately, I said, Mark, there's more. What's more? What's the more? And I went through an exceedingly stressful and difficult time. And I'm sitting in Iron Man 2 before anybody else is there with the Lord. And one of my other brothers comes in, who is really one of my spiritual mentors. His name is Larry. And Larry sat down, and I started telling him what was going on. And I asked him, I said, Larry, how am I supposed to live with this? And he goes, and he backed up because he knew the intensity that I could bring if there was, you know, something that someone said. And so he backed up and he said, you're not supposed to live with this. I said, what? He said, no. Christ in you, the hope of glory, will live that in your life through you as you. I'm like, what does that mean? What? How do I do that? What's that all about? Well, he gave me a book that I'd had for 6 months and never picked it up. Because, you know, this is the only book I read normally. Okay? And I've listened to a couple of other people that have given me books, and I've read them, and they were very beneficial. But I really have to trust the person that gives me the book. Because if I don't, they can give me all the books all day long and tell me how wonderful they are, and they're going to sit on my shelf. Okay? So I read this book, and it was the other half of the coin. It was Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's called The Rest of the Gospel, because that's what most churches don't preach. They preach who we are in Christ, but they don't preach who Christ is in us. And there's a very important scripture that talks about this. It's in John chapter 11. We're starting at verse 41. Okay? Starting verse 4. And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you hear me always. But because of the people standing around, the witnesses that were at the grave of Lazarus," that's who he's talking about. Okay? There were a bunch of witnesses there. "Because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that you did send me." He's given a testimony. He's saying, "Father God, you have heard what I said, and I'm thanking you in advance." And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" Glad you boys are paying attention. "He who had died came forth, bound head and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them," and here's where it is, folks. Here's the second half. He said, "Unbind him and let him go." There's two parts of a transaction that we can make with Jesus. One is the substitutionary death. That's where we accept him as our Lord and Savior. And he dies in our place so that we don't have to be eternally separated from God. But there's a second part. And this is so freeing. And that is, loose him and let him go. That's where he is offering us the opportunity to lay down our lives for him and let him live his life in us. You see, it's a good father was what we sang. And part of being a good father is he does not leave you in the dark. He's not going to lead you astray. He's not going to let you get lost out there. He will show you the way. And Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." When he says the life, I always thought he meant he would live the kind of life that would give me an example of how I should live my life. I always thought that meant that he would tell me the truth. And he would show me the way. That's what I thought it meant. But it isn't. He is the way. He is my truth. Him in me. And he is now my life. But that is a substitution that we have to make voluntarily. We have to say, "Lord Jesus, I haven't been able to figure this out. And I want you to fulfill your word in there. Set me free from what I've been trying to do and figure this out on my own, in my own effort, and work harder at doing what I think I should do to be pleasing to you, and I've been completely and totally unsuccessful. So live your life in me, Lord. I'm not any longer surrendered. I am now crucified." Because see, when we surrender to someone, we still have part of us. Okay? There's still part of us there. But when we're crucified, we're dead. There's nothing left. Nothing. Except Him in us. And I came to realize that's the more. I don't have to live a life of frustration anymore. Because when I am crucified, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that life I live by faith and not by my own effort. Now He is the one that directs the path. He is the one that walks the path. He is the one that speaks the words. He is the one that is responsible for the results, because I'm only allowing Him to do what He wants to do in my life, because He's introducing me to people that He wants me to talk to, or He wants to talk to through me. I'm like, wow, how cool is that? It is liberating, my friends. It is liberating. Because I don't have to figure it out anymore. Now, does that mean that I always do that right? No. Because I still live in this thing called an earth suit. That's what I call it. It's the flesh. It's what my spirit resides in as long as I walk on this earth. And that's got a mind of its own. And it's constantly yapping and screaming and hollering and shouting and everything else. So that's the more. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So getting back to the one and done, I'm like, wow, Lord, this is really cool. So how do you want me to communicate this to the guys in Iron Man 2? And I was sitting in the living room in Lexington, and this little thing right here was sitting on the shelf. And I looked at it, and he said, I want you to communicate what the Beanpot is all about. I'm like, what? I don't get it. He said, well, what can this bean pot be used for? So I'd like to ask you guys. This is an antique bean pot. Okay, so what are some of the uses that this could be, that we could use it for? Anybody have an idea?
Water.
Besides cooking? Holding change, yeah, that's right. It could be used as a container. Mm-hmm. But a container for what?
Beans.
Beans and?
Water.
Coffee. Flowers. You could put flowers in here.
Cookies.
You could also carry water in this. If someone was dying of thirst and couldn't move, and you had this, and you were close to a stream, could you dip it in and bring them a drink? Yeah. So there's any number of different things that it could be used for. And I said, well, that's really kind of nice. And he says, well, who owns the bean pot? I said, well, it's my wife's. So who has the right to decide what it's used for? And I said, she does. I said, oh, okay. That makes sense. He said, so have you given your life to me? I said, yeah. He said, so now, Mark, who has the right to rule in your life? I'm like, whoa. Now we're getting down to brass tacks. And he said, I said, you do. Okay? We're getting real short on time, so I'm going to have to do some of this next week. But I want you to look up Isaiah. Somebody look up Isaiah 64:8 for me, please.
Isaiah what?
64:8. Go ahead and read this for me. You got it there?
What? Yes, Isaiah 64:8.
Yeah.
Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand.
He has made us as this pot. Okay? If it sits on a shelf empty, it has no use other than a decoration. However, if we allow him to take this down from the shelf and fill us with contents, like a phone, that phone represents Psalm 50:15. Call on me in your time of trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. That's him in me. It's not me. Okay? And guess what? That phone number is never busy. It doesn't even have to ring. He picks it up because he knows that we're calling. Okay? Or, this is a compass. Somebody look up for me. John 14:1-6. This is a compass. This scripture, John 14:1-6, represents a compass. Somebody got that?
One through six.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
That's the way I used to read it, until I realized it was Christ in me, the hope of glory. And he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is preeminent. The one and only way. The one and only truth. The one and only life. No one can come to the Father but through me. Okay? He is the compass. Okay? You look at this. It's a knife. Hebrews 4:12. Okay. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intent of the heart. These are just things laying around the house that he had me put into the bean pot. Hebrews 4:12.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going to give you guys a homework assignment because this is very, very important. Okay. I want you to reach in here and take one of these and take it home. Okay. We passed these out last week, but I want you to keep it and I want you to take it home and I want you to read the scriptures that are on here, because one of them represents identity, who we are in Christ, and the other scripture represents who Christ is in us. Okay? And we're going to cover these next week.
So bring them next week.
Bring them next week. Please. I want you to keep them. And I want you to read them. And I want you to use it as a bookmark in your Bible.
That's why I took a picture of my son. Give it back to him last week.
Okay? And I want you to... Darren, would you look up John 6:44-45 for me, please, and read it?
Yes, sir.
This is very important about these scriptures and every other scripture. Okay?
Ready?
Yes, sir.
John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me.
That was the scripture that when I got my first Bible that my loving father-in-law got for me, and that in itself was a miracle because he went to the Christian bookstore. And if anybody's been to a Christian bookstore and they say, hey, I need a Bible for my son, and then there's thousands of them. So what he did was one of the smartest things he could have ever done. He walked down the aisles and he said, Lord, what Bible would you have Mark have? Boom! He got it. It was the New Living Testament, red letter edition, because I had the King James Version before, and I'm reading the these and the thous and the those and all this kind of stuff. I was having a very difficult time. Okay? But it opened up like a flower. And I got to John. I asked the Lord, I said, where should I start? And he said, start in John. And I got to John 6, 44 and 45, and I stopped. It was like I hit a brick wall. And I said, Lord, I got to ask you a question. Does this really mean what it says? Will you be my teacher? He said, yes. You ask me any question about my word, and I will answer it for you. And I'm like, whoa! The author of the scriptures is going to teach me the meaning. And the cool thing about this book, this Bible, is it's like mining for gold. When you mine for gold, you have several choices, one of which is to just gather anything that you can see easily on top. You know, a little bit of dust, a little nugget here. Or you can get out a pick and a shovel. You can get out a pan. You can get out some dynamite. And you can start digging into the Word. And then when you hit something that you can't move, you drill a hole and you put some dynamite in there and you blast it away, and then you hit a vein, which is where all the wealth is. Well, this book, this Bible, the Word of God, is like that.
When you mine it, it's and mine.
It's yours, internally. And he's your teacher. And he's your guide. He's the navigator. To navigate through the difficult things of life. Like you had when you had to talk to him before you went in to talk to that family about the man who committed suicide. How tough had that conversation? But anyway, next week we're going to learn how to walk along. Don't know now, but we're going to put some frosting on the cake. We're going to go back to the bean pot. We're going to go back to our identity in Christ. We're going to do the whole thing, right? Because this is important stuff. Because we're not, God will call us to different places. Debbie and I have been sojourners forever. We started in Columbus. We moved to Connecticut. We moved back to Columbus. We moved up to Akron, Ohio. Then we moved back to Columbus. Then we moved down to Florida. Then we moved back to, then we moved to Kentucky. Then we moved back to Florida, and we're here now. So we are what is called sojourners in the Bible. We're always on a journey. And God will have us on this journey for as long as we live in these earth suits. And when we are willing and obedient, he says we'll eat the best of the land. But that's not always going to be in Bradenton, Florida. That could be in Massachusetts. That could be in California. That could be anywhere. But the one thing that you can take with you, no matter where you go, is the Holy Spirit of God and the teaching that he gives you. And he gives you pure truth here. This is pure truth. This ain't watered down. This isn't the feel-good version. This isn't the, oh boy, I feel so much better after this or that. No, this is the pure, unadulterated truth. So, this is what we can build a life on. Okay? We can count on this. Would you go get that last song? Because the song is so powerful now that we have a better understanding of who he is in us and who we are in him. This can have real meaning now. Transaction, one where we accept salvation, and the other we accept the new life that he wants to live in us. But the reality is this, that if you have not allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, there is no part two. There has to be part one. He has to be Lord and Savior. Amen to that. Okay? He has to be preeminent in your life for his life, for him to live his life through. So if that first part has not taken place, do not wait another second. Do not leave this place tonight without knowing him personally as your Lord and Savior. Because that is that's not a thing. That's the thing. Without that, there's nothing. With that, there is everything. So if anybody needs to make that decision tonight, there's folks that you can talk to. Okay? I see heads shaking. I see people that know that would love to talk with you. I would talk with you. Darren would talk with you. Joel would talk to you. Heidi would talk to you. Okay? If you haven't made that first transaction, you can't make that decision. Father God, we thank you that you showed up tonight. That when we walked in, you, we thank you that you spoke your word. That you showed us your heart. You showed us how desperately you love us. And how much you want to have a relationship with us. And you want us to have the more. You want us to have everything that there is to have. And the only way we can do that is by living a crucified life and allowing you to be preeminent, to be the one and only, not the one of many. Father, this week as we read those scriptures that each one drew, speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, you asked, I believe it was the rich young ruler, but when he asked you a question, you asked him, what does scripture say to you? Answer that question for each person here that took those verses out of the bowl. And they ask you, what does this scripture mean? And because you are our teacher, teach us the way, the truth, and the life about those so that we can walk with you closer after those discussions next week. In Christ's name we pray.